The U.S. Supreme Court will hear arguments today in its first major gun case in more than 10 years. In 2008, the court ruled that the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms guarantees people the right to have a gun in their home for self-defense. Today, the question is how far a state can go in regulating whether a person can carry a gun outside of their home. Here's NPR's legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg.
At issue in today's case is New York's so-called proper cause law. It requires a license to carry a gun outside the home, and it restricts those licenses to those going hunting or to target practice, and those who can demonstrate a need for self-protection, like a bank messenger carrying cash, or a store owner who wants to keep a gun in his store for self-protection. The state, however, does not allow people to get concealed carry permits because of a generalized fear or desire for self-defense. Instead, applicants have to show a special or particular need to carry a gun, a proper cause. The law is being challenged by the New York Rifle and Pistol Association, an arm of the NRA, and two men who live in upstate New York. One got a permit to carry a gun to and from work, and both got licenses to carry weapons for hunting or for shooting practice. But they were denied the right to carry guns outside the home as a general matter of self-defense, as opposed to showing that they faced any unusual threat. Former Solicitor General Paul Clement, who represents the challengers in the Supreme Court, compares the right to carry guns outside the home to the right of free speech guaranteed by the Constitution.
These are all rights that the founding generation thought were sufficiently important that we're going to enshrine them in the Bill of Rights. And I think that judgment means that the states have to respect those rights.
I don't think we can forget we're talking about an instrument that is designed to kill people.
Richard Deering is chief of appeals for the city of New York.
I think the problem the petitioners have is that the public safety considerations are so tremendous and varied on the side of gun regulation in a way that is not equally true of other rights.
Among the 87 friend of the court briefs in the case is one supporting New York filed by a group of top Justice Department officials from previous Republican administrations. Among them is J. Michael Luttig, who served for 15 years as a federal appeals court judge, earning a reputation as one of the country's most prominent and conservative judges. He argues that a thorough examination of the history and tradition of gun regulation in America shows clearly that the founders thought that state and local governments should be free to regulate the carrying of guns in public.
New York has a less restrictive regulatory regime than even the founding era statutes, which broadly prohibited public carry with no exception whatever. In simple terms, the history and tradition show that the states have had almost unfettered power to restrict in many different ways.
But gun rights advocate Clement counters that there are no records showing prosecutions under those laws, and he maintains that New York's law puts unconstitutional discretion in the hands of state regulators. It's one thing, he says, for a state to ban convicted felons from carrying a gun.
It's different to say that you are a New Yorker, you have zero criminal record, you have done nothing wrong, and yet you still can't get any outlet for your constitutional right to carry your firearm outside the house.
New York City Appellate Chief Deering replies that these decisions are not made by petty bureaucrats. They're made in rural upstate New York by judges and in New York City by police department officials. Moreover, he says that the rules in rural areas are looser than they are in New York City, where the population is by far the densest of any place in the country.
When you walk on the streets of this city, you see that it's crowded almost all the time, pretty much everywhere. And so you're always near schools, parks, places of worship, other kinds of places where a lot of people congregate.
Judge Luttig also points to the spontaneity of violence in modern American life.
Law-abiding citizens in an instant can become lawless citizens in the moment, a moment of passion, a moment of argument, and incidentally, increasingly, in the political moments of disagreement.
And he focuses on statements of many rioters who stormed the Capitol on January 6th, who said they left their guns at home because of laws in the District of Columbia that make carrying guns in public illegal. Without those laws, Luttig says, think how much worse things could have been. That's true as well, he says, in places far more mundane than the Capitol.
Do we really want as a society to be sitting in Yankee Stadium knowing that a large number of the attendees, you know, are carrying loaded weapons? I think not. And I don't think that that's what the framers of the Second Amendment thought either.
Paul Clement agrees that local governments might well be able to ban guns at Yankee Stadium and other sensitive places, but so far he's not come up with a principle to guide such exceptions to the rule he advocates for generally allowing people to carry concealed guns in public.
I don't think this is the case to develop the scope of the limiting principles. We think this is a pretty extreme law that presumptively says if you're an ordinary citizen, you can't carry firearms at all for self-defense.
Until now, the Supreme Court has, for more than a decade, dealt with gun regulation issues by steering clear of them. But with President Trump's appointment of three new justices, that equation has changed. Justice Neil Gorsuch has weighed in as a strong advocate for gun rights, and Justices Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett, as lower court judges, dissented when the courts they served on upheld long-standing gun laws. So it would appear that there is now a Supreme Court majority to strongly support gun rights, potentially at the expense of public safety. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.